It's time for Golf DMV, the podcast highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Low handicap, high handicap, or somewhere in between. If you love golf, you're in the right place. PGA, LPGA, industry trends. Golf DMV has it covered. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
Another week, another edition of the Golf DMV podcast, the podcast highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, and soon Pennsylvania, by the
yes.
way.
Yes.
But we'll have a little bit more on that later. LB's in studio. LB, what's up?
Hey.
Sherman's in studio. Sherman, what's up?
I'm here. And
My wife legitimately concerned about Sherman's health today, but we'll
I'm
have
here,
a little more on that
well.
Later.
As was my daughter.
Yeah.
My wife was not.
Your wife a little less concerned about your safety than
right,
mine.
Than
and
your, wife.
Your daughter.
Tell Sierra, thank you. I know you probably won't listen to this for a month, but thank
yeah.
you.
She'll say, tell Sherman I said it's all good in November when she listens to this
episode. Good thing is, my daughter Naomi will be taking podcasting coming up this academic year.
Wait a minute. They have podcasting in her school?
Yes. Right,
how about
and
that?
She's signing up. I will be speaking there, but she may replace me in case there's another counter protest.
How come no one from the school asked me to teach the class?
You're right. Why didn't ask a producer of the show?
A professional.
Right.
Well, you know, you don't have a kid there.
Oh, well, that's true.
I mean, he's old enough to go there. But
you know what they really should do? Invite all three of us there.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
Yeah. Well, some of us may not because we have to hit the dump button often when one of us
speaks. Yeah, oh, that's true. Maybe Claude and I will go.
Right, so we can't.
We don't need any.
I can control myself.
Okay,
gentlemen. Oh, really?
Okay, gentlemen, let's behave ourselves. We've got guests in
the
studio.
So, Naomi, good luck in podcasting. You could take over
for me. Good luck, Naomi, yeah.
If I get killed by a neo-Nazi at the next.
We can pay Naomi to produce our podcast.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
I mean, she'll do it for $10 or something like that, a show.
Sure.
Because then I don't have to do it.
A happy meal.
Yeah. Sure wish I could get paid.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that happens.
At least I deduct my mileage.
We've got some very special guests in the studio, by the way. Megan Rogers and Tom Marshall. They're from the National Collegiate Cancer Foundation. Megan is the president. Tom's a board member. And we've been talking about the Wager Cup for months. I mean, Sherman was adamant that in April we have to promote the tournament,
right.
despite it being in October, which is fine. You know, we liked it.
Well, it was fine with me.
First Sunday in October, too.
Right. The first Sunday in October.
we're going
to have so much fun. It's at the Links in Gettysburg. Tom and Megan, thank you so much for coming out today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And so we're going to talk about the Wager Cup. It's going to be so much fun. But first, just something really important. There was I don't even want to talk about the organization's name, but there was a rally of, you know, just
it was a counter-protest
full of hate in D.C. And there were so many different counter-protests that went out. So number one, shout out to all the people who went downtown to counter protest.
And there was a lot of people.
To counter protest. Not so much for the folks who were there for the rally.
Yes.
Like two dozen who eventually said, you know what, it's raining. Let's just go home. It's raining. We're surrounded. We're outnumbered. And I don't mean outnumbered that show on Fox News.
Right.
I mean, we're really outnumbered.
Yeah.
There was
more horses there than there were demonstrators.
There were more horses there to protect the
demonstrators.
The two dozen that were there.
Your tax dollars at work.
Because that kind of bigotry and hate has no place in this country
especially in D.C.
And especially in D.C.
Yeah,
the
we don't
city
play
that we love. Yeah, we don't play that. Careful, because Naomi will be producing this podcast soon. So careful with the language, Sherman. But Sherman LB went. What was it like?
It was great. People everywhere, very diverse crowds, peaceful, but vocal.
Peaceful, but we're ready for trouble if you want some.
Oh, yeah,
You want to cross that line, we'll go there.
But
this is D.C.
It was two dozen of them, so they wasn't.
Yeah,
they
we just fight for no reason.
Exactly.
Right.
But it was, I'm glad I went. I was apprehensive at first. My wife was a little apprehensive as well. She said, you know, just come back home safe.
Mm-hmm. And your wife worried about your safety, unlike Bernanda, who slightly concerned about
she
Sherman.
She said, I don't think you need to go there.
Right. Well, our concern was because we know how these things get you. You get.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all about equality.
We all love it. It's LB is kind of a little more laid back.
Right.
I'm a bit more diplomatic.
Yes,
Sherman is the torches and pitchfork person.
Yeah. I'm the tiki torch.
So.
I don't like anybody being mistreated based on religion,
gender, sexual identity,
anything. It drives me up a wall. Mm-hmm. So the fact that kind of hate was coming to my town that I love so much, you know, LB and I had to be there. It was, like you said, very diverse, very loud.
It seemed as if you guys had video. Someone got some off videos on the wrong Metro exit, right. And they were
I don't know how these people did it, but it ended up being a husband. Well, let me say it.
It looked like a husband and wife.
It was a man and a woman walking down. Is that I think it was I Street.
We were leaving at this point.
So they're walking in the middle of I Street with their, you know, Trump 2020 stickers on and
shirts,
saying whatever.
They couldn't read because they got off on the wrong Metro stop.
Two people walking in the middle of the street. They had to have 40 police officers around them as they walked down the street. So this is what our tax dollars are going toward, protecting these two idiots walking down the middle of the street.
And then a busload of cops got off running with riot gear,
right,
trying to protect them. And then when we were waiting
while
on
the crowd
Uber,
is just jeering them on.
Yeah. I mean, they were trying to attack them.
The crowd was calling them all kinds of names.
They were trying to get them to fight. And the husband, or whoever he was,
the guy
was like, I don't want any parts of this. I don't know how she talked me into this.
He was like five steps behind her.
He's like, why am I even here?
No one would know you're with her.
I'm just came to support her.
They were three blocks east
of the White House.
From the other two dozen idiots.
Okay.
Well,
but good thing about DC, I'll say this about DC. We, you know, like I said, it was probably
it was thousands.
Yeah.
As far as you can see, we were on H Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As far as you can see, there were people. Yeah. I mean, signs, people.
Diverse crowds, but everybody united under love. And,
it drowned it out. Yeah. Antifa was there.
Well, yeah.
So
they mean
when
business.
Antifa's there, I'm like, okay. You know. Yeah. I mean, they love punching Nazis in the face. Yeah. So
that's what they do. Okay.
So it's cool that, you know, our hometown stood up and was like, look, we're not having this crap.
Yeah.
You know.
And don't forget, I mean, this time last year on Golf DMV, we took a whole half hour talking about, well, I don't know if it was a half hour, but we took time to talk about Charlottesville. Like, we're not, you know, you can sit there and scream and yell all you want to. You're a dying breed.
Right.
You're a number that's dwindling quickly.
Right.
You know, and hurt lions, wounded lions roar the loudest.
Yeah. Right.
You can do all you want to do, but there's nothing you can do about that because there's more people that are together and unified and they don't want that crap than people who do.
And that's a great thing about DC. I mean, we're, you know, women, men, gay, straight, black, white,
Latino,
Asian, Muslim,
Indian.
It did not matter. Everybody was there in solidarity to say, look, not here, not now.
Don't happen.
It's not happening.
Okay.
So
let's talk golf. Okay. The PGA Championship. Tiger Woods.
Oh
my goodness.
Gosh.
Tom and Megan, feel free to jump in.
No, Megan's jumping in because she was the first one chiming in.
Tiger Woods. I mean, when he sunk that, he went birdie, I think it was 12 and 13, maybe. I was a little irresponsible. I was driving to the studio and I had
irresponsible.
I had the tournament on my phone, kind of watching it, 495, and
listening to something on the radio about
the
rally.
WTOP.
We're recording from the WTOP news.
Yeah,
desk.
We're downstairs on the first floor. We're WFED because it's all part of that podcast, One Family,
right?
And so we're here today. And
news and weather together on the 8s.
Exactly, and when it breaks.
Traffic and weather together.
That too.
So when he sinks that birdie, I'm just like, he's winning this.
Yep.
He's winning this. The show that, because again, we're recording on a Sunday night. I said the show this week is going to be how Tiger Woods came back healthy off season, won a major, the last major of the season he won it.
And the first time since 2008.
Nope.
It was 12, I'm looking now. It was 12 and 13. He went birdie.
Unbelievable.
And then bogey 14.
And then Tiger. And I think 14 lipped out. It was a long putt.
Yes.
And he almost saved par and it lipped out.
Right.
Nuts.
And I said to LB, well, there goes the LB putt.
Yep.
But honestly,
the old lip out.
Oh yeah, LB gets tons of lip outs. It was exciting though, right? To see Tiger this close to winning. What do you got on that? We'll go Sherman, we'll go Megan and Tom.
With Sherman, we watched it together when we left the demonstration. We stopped at the local
fried oyster.
The grilled oyster company.
Oyster. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to say the name because they don't give us anything free. But
I did. I did email and speak with the. I don't know if he's the general manager or maybe the owner here and the one in Potomac. I spoke to him on Mother's Day. They had a great Mother's Day brunch at the Potomac location.
Okay.
So.
All right, what they always
say. Did you get it for free?
No. Okay. Goodness,
so go ahead,
I wish.
LB. Back to what LB said.
Sarah did not, you know, spare any expense. Well, I didn't spare any expense. She's a good mom, so whatever. Manny says she's a good mom. But.
Well, the problem, we talked about this today as we were drinking and watching the tournament. Tiger has to do better on Thursday.
Right.
Right.
You can't be even par or plus on Thursday. If he had been, you know, -1, -2 under on Thursday, today's a totally different outcome.
Right.
And that's been his problem since he's been back. He'll put in, you know, maybe two good rounds, but he doesn't put four good rounds together. He just hasn't. And most of the guys, I don't know what Koepka's score was, but
good enough to win.
Good enough to win, but I don't know if he had 16, I don't know if he had 4 good rounds. But that was my question. Was four rounds under par or was a? No, I don't know.
He was a leader coming into Sunday.
Right.
Well, Sunday, but where was he on? Because Thursday and Friday was the no-names. Woodland and Kisner or somebody was leading on those days. So I don't know how far back he was. My point is, for Tiger, you need to be -1, -2, -3, whatever on Thursday.
Right.
A little bit on Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday, or Saturday and Sunday, then you put the pedal to the metal.
Yep.
But you can't wait till Sunday and shoot 66 and think everybody else is not going to shoot 66.
Right.
I mean, there's too many good guys nowadays.
Mm-hmm. And he shot 64 today.
64, okay. Yeah. So,
par again, 70, so still
right. 600. So a lot of other guys, somebody else, at least one or two, somebody at least shot 65 or something like that, I don't know, whatever. But there were some other people that were in there that shot just as good as Tiger on Sunday. You can't do that and expect everybody else to do the moonwalk because they're not afraid of Tiger anymore.
Right.
That Tiger
not
guy.
Not this crop of folks. No. That's Vijay Singh and those boys.
Exactly.
Those days are over.
Right.
and hit a fairway. Right. Exactly. 0 for 9?
Yeah, 0 the front 7 9, on he was 0-7 on the front. Yeah.
Yep. Right.
Wow.
0 for 7 on the front, 3 under par.
Right.
Wow.
But, I mean, then he brings those irons out, and, I mean, he had some incredible saves, which,
yes, he did.
You know, that's what makes Tiger so exciting. Like, you know, at least the last couple years, I mean, it was just painful if he was out there to watch him. But, you know, the last two majors he's played in, and I don't know if you guys got to see him out when he was at Avenel. You know, it seems plausible he'll win another major.
I think so.
You know, I'm one of those people that roots for him to win another major. I feel like sometimes I'm in the minority, but you want him to charge a little bit harder. I mean, let's face it, 10 years ago, that ball that I can't remember what hole it was, but that where it just stopped and hung
just
there.
Yeah,
I mean,
do
you guys remember the Nike commercial where it was
Masters. Yep.
That falls in.
Yeah.
You know, it fell in for him before. Right. Well, Megan brings up a good point. I think, you know, forget what happens the rest of this year. This was a successful year for Tiger.
Absolutely.
I mean, If in the beginning of this season, of the PGA season, which, you know, the wraparound season, I guess, starts November, right? Or December. So at the beginning of this year, it's like Tiger's going to make it through the entire year, or at least in the last major, injury free.
Yep.
And he's going to have, what did he have? Like 3 or 4 top tens or something like that? Yeah. He finishes.
Can't suck it today.
He has some top fives.
Do you believe this? Somebody said he's going to finish second in a major and was right there. Actually, two of the four majors. I don't think anybody would have believed it.
Every single person would have taken the
field against that bet.
Do you think he makes a Ryder Cup team?
Ooh. I think so.
He has to.
I think so.
I mean, he really does.
Because he's playing like this, he's Tiger. I think you almost have to. Even
for the draw alone.
Right.
Even if he was playing like crap, you had to put him on a team just for the draw.
To distract the other team.
I mean, I think, it was a successful season, but you know who's really worried? Mickelson, because he's going to lose that $10 million and over the Thanksgiving holiday.
He didn't make the cut.
I have that list of people who did not make the cut.
Oh, great. And it's a list of notables.
There's some notables.
So, Tom, what did you think about all that with Tiger today at the PGA?
I think just in general, Tiger just brings that excitement level, you know, back to golf, you know, with respect to Spieth and to Dustin Johnson and Fowler and all those guys. When Tiger's in the mix, it just makes Sunday that much better.
Yep.
And seeing Tiger in the red, and I was driving down here tonight, said Tiger with the fist pump. You know, you can just envision it. It takes you back 10 years, and, you know, I'm pulling for the guy. I hope he does well, and it was fun to watch today.
Yeah.
So now all the talk will be, will Tiger win a major in 2019?
He's going to win. I think he's going to win one.
Mm-hmm.
if he stays injury free, but he seems to have that fixed.
Right.
Whatever he did. I mean, whatever doctor
that
he saw.
Fusion,
I think that
the juice.
Yeah, that too. As long as he's not getting tested, he's good.
It wasn't that. It was those SEAL workouts that was like, you know. Oh, well, he was trying to, you know, overachieve a little bit there, and that's where he got himself in trouble with
right. I think so. Mm-hmm.
You know, that SEAL team training.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No, Koepka says he benches 225, 15 times.
It maxes out at 315, right?
Yeah. Right. So, not too impressive, no, according to him.
Yeah, to him, yeah. Nothing impressive.
Right.
Yeah.
Funny. So,
can I get my take?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry, sir.
No, I'm just curious. I mean, I know it's a packed studio, but I mean. So, to Tom's point, when Tiger was walking off the 18th green, mm-hmm. LB and I were commenting. I mean, it was hundreds deep.
Right.
Yeah. And Tiger had to stop and wave.
I've never seen him do that before, by the way.
I
think
either.
He's seen this stuff is stopped. Like, he's just trying to savor moments now, you know?
Yeah.
He stopped. He literally stopped and waved at people while he was walking up the stairs walkway. And the grandstand thing, mm-hmm. going to turn his scorecard. He stopped.
Well, his kids are watching. You know, his kids, he said, you know, his kids, he hasn't been good enough. His kids have no recollection of him
as
being a good golf player.
As far as they know, his dad's an average golfer.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Isn't that crazy? Like
Dad, why don't you cheer for you?
So it's not only like, you know, his kids are watching now.
That's insane to think about.
Yeah.
You know, it's been that long. But there's some, you know, LB famously quoted probably 6 months ago when I said Tiger moves the needle, and LB cut me off and said, no, Tiger is the needle. Mm-hmm. He still is the needle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Tom said, it does not matter what he did in his personal life. People want to beat him up on that all the time, whatever. Their dad probably did the same thing. Doesn't matter, whatever. But the fact is, when Tiger... I mean, for real. You know, I mean, it's what it is. You know, you're going to hold Tiger to a higher standard than you hold a lot of people, right? It is what it is. But when Tiger is competing in that Sunday Red, mm-hmm. and he's in the top 3, 4, 5, 10, the entire world stops to see... what Tiger's gonna do?
Sure, absolutely.
And you can hate him off the course all you want.
I don't think he gets that much hate anymore.
I beg to differ.
For certain people, I mean, like the one guy on Golf Channel, Tiger can't do anything right.
No, he can't do anything right. And then what's the idiot? Feinstein hates him.
John Feinstein.
Yeah, if you're listening, your whole career is built on hating Tiger. Whatever. Right. But you're on like you're on your second or third marriage. But how's that going, buddy? But anyway,
Sherm's got guns blazing
because you're holding him to like you don't know him.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah,
appreciate I'm like. I mean, it is what it
well,
is. This is his job.
I guess, you know, you can cheer for him. You know, whatever makes people cheer for him, cheer for him. It makes them not.
But people say one thing.
But then
and then when he's in the top three,
personal,
when he's going for the title, mm-hmm. they root for him. So be happy for the fact that you get to watch the best golfer in our lifetime, to me, ever.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And 10 years after his last major, he's out there throwing darts.
Yeah.
You know, from 248 yards out.
He was sticking it.
Because
at one time we were watching.
He couldn't hit a fairway.
Right. We thought
that iron play, like Meg said, that iron play was on the money.
The nine irons was dropping 2 and 3 feet from the pin.
Right.
Man. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it don't matter who he's dating or whatever, but appreciate the fact that the best golfer of our lifetime is back.
Right.
And the world stops to watch him compete.
Mm-hmm. And he is dating another waitress.
Yes. No. She's not a waitress.
She's not a waitress.
She's a manager.
She's the manager at a restaurant.
She's the manager.
Happen to have his name.
The Woods restaurant.
And to be fair to the first waitress, he wasn't dating her either.
Right.
Let's be fair.
That was a smash and grab.
Hey, Waffle House. You know, that's where it is.
Great waffles, I hear.
Yeah, great waffles.
Anyway, so let's move.
They got a different name, but whatever.
So the guy who won,
just delete. Delete your voicemail.
So the guy won.
Hole in one. All right.
All right. Okay. So yeah, let's move quickly past this. Brooks Koepka wins.
Old blockhead.
Is his second? I know. Yeah, he's the blockhead brothers because it's Brooks Koepka, Tony Finau,
and John Rahm.
John Rahm. Yeah.
The heads are like Lego blocks. Yeah. Anyway, so
he plays linebacker for the Redskins in the offseason.
That's what it seems like. He went. So this is his second win this year. Both wins were majors. He's only played in 8 majors, and he's won 3 of them.
Yep.
He's won 3 out of 8. All he does is win majors.
Yeah.
Three, all he does is win, no matter what.
Yeah.
He's got three career wins and two of them are majors.
Yep. He's got how many?
Three career wins and two of them are majors.
Well, let's make that four career wins and three of them are majors now.
Yep.
No.
Yes.
Oh, he had two. In fact, he had two opens.
My bad.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
He was drinking a little bit before we got here.
So you've got some numbers on this one.
Yeah. So the winner, Brooks won $1.98 million.
Oh, they didn't have Grey Goose, by the way.
Yeah, they did not.
Well, speaking of drinking.
Which he said, well, we have Tito's. Nope. Listen. We have Kettle One. Nope. LB asked for Grey Goose. He will get a Grey Goose.
Speaking of drinking, as you guys were watching, and I came through towards the end because you know we were going to record a little earlier,
right.
But say, you know what, Tiger, we can't record because Tiger. We ran into. Just wanted to do a shout out to Helen and Wendy,
two
great ladies that we met
at the bar.
Both DC natives, still live in DC. Had a great time.
Mm-hmm. Very nice ladies.
Wendy says she's got some back issues.
Preventing her from playing.
Yeah,
right.
She says now she wants to get into golf. You know, right now at her age, she considers herself old. I don't. Yeah. Age is just a number.
Exactly.
She says,
wait, was this Wendy or Helen?
No, Helen.
Helen. Yeah.
Is it Helen?
Yeah, Helen.
The old name.
Oh, right.
Helen is an old name.
Thank you.
Like LB's mom.
Oh, what you say about my mama? Helen says, you know, in her old age, she wants to play golf. So we gave her a card, said Helen.
I gave her a card three times.
And I'm pretty sure.
She kept pushing it back. And I said, listen, just listen to the podcast, please.
Helen asked for my cell phone number and email address.
Yeah. Sierra.
She took a selfie with me as well.
Exactly.
And I'm pretty sure with her retirement schedule, her schedule and my work schedule probably lines up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if Helen wants to, you know, we told her, hey, you want to learn to play? Let's get out and let's play. Maybe she can be our special guest.
Of course, she wants to go to Haynes Point.
Yeah, she did miss a Haynes Point.
That'd be fun.
Three times.
She can be our special guest at the Wager Cup.
There you go.
We're going to
need a fourth. She can hit from the women's tees. That's always an advantage.
No.
That's always an advantage, I'm telling you.
I'm winning the Wager Cup.
Don't forget, Sherman has this thing about women playing golf, so he probably doesn't want a woman on his team.
Here we go.
Fill me in on that at some point.
We'll get back to that.
We'll get you caught up on that.
It comes up every show. Don't worry. You'll hear it.
So the PGA, Brooks Koepka, won $1.98 million.
SpongeBob.
Now, these are the names.
What's the number he won? How much?
$1.98 million. Nice. I don't know what the total purse was, but it's $1.98 million. People who missed the cut. Some names you may know: Patrick Harrington, Bryson DeChambeau, Stendrick Henson, Patrick Reed, Jason Duffner, who has done nothing as of late.
Right.
Matt Kuchar didn't make it. And Bubba Watson did not make the cut.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw that. He finished, I think, plus 10.
Yeah, so like eight or something like that. No, not yet.
Oh, sorry.
I was saving for toward the end. The last two people of note who did not make the cut, Mr. Phil Mickelson. Fat Phil. What are we going to call? He got to get a new name now with his dancing. Saturday
Tom,
Night Fever.
Have you seen this?
Gosh, that commercial.
You haven't seen
so
that commercial?
Funny. He's got this commercial where
Phil Mickelson wore like a dress shirt.
I saw that.
Okay. Right. So he has a commercial now where he's like dodging golf balls in the dress shirt
and doing the running man and all kinds of stupid moves.
His version of dance moves. It's really hilarious.
Now, I have to tell you, I played a golf tournament with Tom. We were on a team together.
We were.
And he came out dressed in all black.
Nice.
And it was hot as hell. And we were calling him Phil.
Fat Phil.
Not Fat Phil. We were just calling him Phil.
Just Phil. Okay. Just Phil.
If only my golf game looked as good as I did that day. But your boy Sherman here, he was throwing darts.
Yeah. Okay. My iron play looked nice that day.
Okay.
I was about to say something else, but I didn't want to be joking.
2 months ago, Sherman broke 90.
Right. I didn't know that.
Well, you must be the only person in this area who didn't hear.
Right. Here we go. The butt of all their jokes.
He told everybody.
Yeah. Apparently not everybody. Right. Sorry. Right. Go ahead.
So the last guy who did not make the cut was my favorite, our friend, Sergio Garcia.
He hates Sergio, yo. He hates Sergio.
Yeah,
I don't like him either, but he hates him.
Yeah. Something about Phil Mickelson.
I hate Dustin Johnson.
And
so anytime he doesn't win.
I like that.
I love him. Yeah, I don't mind. I don't have a problem with DJ.
So another thing
I hate Dustin because I put a lot of money on him.
Is that really what it's all about?
It's all about money.
It's always.
Wow. And then that big dummy fell down the steps.
You put money in him on last year's Masters.
Yes. It was in a.
Because you didn't really. You never said a bad word about him.
I didn't care about him
until he fell down the steps.
Until he fell down the steps.
Right.
That's right.
And ever since then, you've been.
You had to pick one golfer for this pool. I'm going to take the number one golfer in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm taking DJ. And then this big fool falls down the damn steps.
I was literally talking to my wife about this months ago. I said, I don't know what Sherman's saying about Dustin Johnson. It's because he never said anything bad about him before, ever. Like, since I've known him, we've been watching golf.
Yeah,
and now all of a sudden he hates him.
I hate him.
He never said that.
I hate him.
So it's the money.
It's the money.
It's all about the money. Follow the dollars.
Follow the dollars.
This is what's going to happen when sports betting's in every single state.
Yep.
People are going to hate teams.
I hope he falls down the steps again next week.
Wow, that's negative. So another thing, Tom and Megan, that we do, we have this thing that we, well, we used to call it something else, but I don't even know what we used to call it.
The last place yeah.
Something like that. But basically what we do now, I have this theory. So my son plays golf. I'm going to show you this video from the driving range yesterday.
Oh, man, sweet swing. Yeah,
Five years old. I mean, he'll be
on the PGA Tour.
I mean, a lot of people think their kids are good at stuff, and most of their kids are talentless. But he's good at this.
But his son is actually good.
Yeah, but he's really good.
His son's actually good, yeah. And he mimics PGA players. Like, who's the one who slammed his club?
Oh, Jimmy Walker. I'm tired of it.
Jimmy Walker. I'm tired of this on TV.
He'll ask people at the driving range, hey, watch me hit. Watch this.
Yeah.
It's
then Manny, 5 years old, goes out to the range. I'm tired of this. Slams his driver.
So we have this whole thing where I'm like, make the PGA Tour. I don't want to put any pressure on him. Make the PGA Tour, right? Mm-hmm. And in every event, if you make the cut and still finish last place, you'll make, $1 million in a season. So we don't know whether it's really a million, so we're trying to keep track of it. Now, Sherman's wife, Bernanda, said, stop saying this last place stuff. Like,
No. Your wife said, stop saying this last place stuff.
Right. Yeah, she said, don't call it that anymore. So then Bernanda came up with this thing, the Manny Millions. And so what we do is every tournament, we keep track of who finished last, how much they made, and then what's the total for the year last place. And then LB usually gives us some fun facts on the person who finished last. Well, so now today,
like they like long walks on the beach, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. LB,
okay,
the Manny
so today's Manny Million, the last place winner is Mr. Scott Brown. He's from...
Scott Brown. Isn't he the governor of, was that Wisconsin?
Wisconsin. No, that was Scott...
I think that's Scott Brown.
Is it? I don't know.
The guy ran for president? Sorry, go ahead.
Well, yeah, you look out while I talk.
I don't care.
So Mr. Scott Brown, he's 5'8", 170 pounds, 35 years old, from
little
Augusta.
Fella.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
He's 5'8".
5'8", 170.
And probably hits a ball 150 yards further than us.
We do, exactly. Yeah. He was born in Augusta, GA. So I'm wondering if his Brown and our friend Mr. James Brown are somehow related through the bloodline.
JB from CBS, James, NFL?
No, as in James,
the Godfather of Soul.
Yeah. He's from Augusta, GA, just saying.
He is?
Yeah. Come on, man. Yeah, keep up on your black history, bro.
He was a Rolling Stone, so he could be. He could be a descendant.
So Mr. Brown won $18,600 for coming in last place.
That's
$18,600 for last place.
Let the math. Person get, let's see, four.
I'm holding 4, my paper away. You can't see that.
No. I'm saying per day. That's $4,600 a day.
Not bad.
There you go.
For 4 days.
Not bad.
I'll take that.
So the grand total so far this year, if you come in last place at all the PGA tournaments, would be $631,000.
Wow.
If you just finished last place.
Just make the cut. Gotta make the cut. So for Mr. Brown here, he turned pro in 06. Mm-hmm. He started on a tour in 2012.
Okay.
So he's made $8,000 since
$8,000
since 2006. I'm sorry, since 2012. I'm sorry.
Well, what does he do for his full time job?
How does he get a caddy?
Right, exactly.
A caddy's making $800 a year.
The caddy pays him.
$80 a year.
So it's $6 million.
That was $8 million.
Oh, $8 million.
I said $8 million. Okay. I'm sorry. My bad.
I mean, wait. Stop.
2012.
Stop.
Stop.
Start over.
Put your phone down.
No, I'm also researching Scott Brown. Okay. The other Scott, the richer Scott
He's
Brown.
He's saying $8,000. You're saying $6 million. Yeah, and neither of you have it right.
Right. It's $8 million.
Okay. It's $1 million a year.
He joined.
No, that's more than that. Yeah. 2012.
Yeah. He joined the PGA in 2012.
A little more than
$8,000 a year.
This season so far, he's played in 29 events and made 17 cuts.
Wow.
So I looked through his winnings, you know, over the years. He's only won one event, and that was in 2013.
In his life.
Well, one PGA event since 2012. He won the Puerto Rican Open, which is actually the Trump – is actually, well, I hate to say it at this point, is actually the Trump course that me, King, and Rick played.
You've played a lot of Trump courses.
I know, right? But this is before
where you voted.
But this is before
you're the reason these neo Nazis were marching.
That was before he was president.
Oh,
so,
yeah, okay. Well, that makes it better.
You know, back then he was just an asshole TV guy.
Was the course nice?
The course, yeah, it's right nice because one of the holes is a par three, and the pin is like right on the beach. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? You're aiming for the ocean, so it was a nice course.
Okay,
it was way overpriced, but we played it because we were on vacation. Course. Whatever.
Yeah.
He's married. He's got two rugrats. His interests are boating, fishing, and yard work. Right, I know, right?
Yard work.
Right. Now
well,
I used
well,
to.
Well, he only makes $8,000.
Right. 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 He got to do something to part time. So.
His neighbor's lawn.
Right. He lives in South Carolina.
What part of South Carolina?
Outside of Aiken, South Carolina.
Okay, so he lives near where he grew up.
Right. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, but
like Biggie Small said, same number, same hood. It's all good.
This is true. I think 80% of the population does, actually.
The one thing I can find kind of interesting about him, his wife, whose name is Allison, in 1984, she was in a music video called The Girl with the Curious Hand.
What?
Where did you find this?
Hey,
exactly.
The internet is full of.
It's going deep.
Oh, you got to. Hey, Google is an amazing machine.
Yeah. Get on her MySpace page?
Yeah. Well, LB's also a government worker, so he has a lot of time on his hands.
Classified information.
But so if you can actually see the video. It's out there because I found it, and I watched it.
And
it was hilarious. It's 1984 music, too.
Right.
So her hair was.
Well, no, she was in a, it was a weird video, but she's in like a bikini and they called it racy. So at one point, it was called a racy video.
Kind of stuff
right?
We talk about.
So at one point, a guy has a bottle of suntan lotion and he's holding it.
I
and
know
then
what happens next.
She squeezes his hand
pops out,
and it squirts out.
Of course.
Yeah. So that was the racy part of the video.
Yeah.
But it was pretty funny. You can find this. Just Google it. It's on YouTube. No problem. You can find it. So Allison and Mr. Scott, they met at the pro shop where he used to be
part-time.
She worked there, but he was, you know, trying to be a golfer, pro golfer. He came in every Wednesday, she said, and that's how they met and yada, yada, yada. So two girls, and that's about it about him.
Okay. Now, the other Scott Brown, by the way, currently he's the U.S. ambassador to New Zealand and Samoa. Former senator from Massachusetts, 2010-2013.
What party is he with?
Republican.
Republican, yeah.
Okay.
Didn't he run for president?
I feel like he did.
I think he was one of the 52 people who ran in 2016. They managed to come up with.
Who was the other guy in Wisconsin? Scott?
It was
Scott something. Anyway, yeah, that's not important.
He didn't win. Who cares? He's a loser.
No, there you go. So we're here for, we've got special guests in studio, by the way. I mean, we've been doing a lot of yapping and talking, and it's just, I apologize for the time I'm making. Tom Marshall, board member of the National Collegiate Cancer Foundation, also Megan Rogers, president, by the way, of the National Collegiate Cancer Foundation. We've been talking about the Wager Cup
for months
now.
Since Tom and I went on a joyride through.
On a date?
Yeah, on a date. we had a date.
Yeah. Nice. And so the Wager Cup. Let's talk a little bit about I guess, first of all, let's talk about the foundation, the National Collegiate Cancer Foundation. When did it start? The story behind it. And then we'll get to the golf.
Yeah, so we'll start with the story first. And first and foremost, we want to thank you guys for the opportunity to come here.
Thank you for putting up with our
this is great. And when Sherman and I went on our date to P.F. Chang's in White Marsh.
Fancy. I bet you paid.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel like it just really fits into kind of the story with the National Collegiate Cancer Foundation. Unfortunately, one of my college roommates, Dan Weger, passed away due to lung cancer. Mm-hmm. And the last time I saw him was here in Bethesda. And it's kind of coming full circle here, hanging out with you guys, seeing you guys laugh. It brings back a lot of memories. Dan was diagnosed in 2005 with lung cancer, and he was training for a marathon in San Diego. And one of his final two wishes was to keep the foundation going. So it's amazing to be here, you know, 14 years later, still talking about the foundation and promoting it. So once he was diagnosed, he really had two options, to fight or to give up. And not only did he fight, he started the National Collegiate Cancer Foundation. And like I said, we're coming up on our 14th year with the golf tournament.
How old was Dan when this, when he was diagnosed?
He was diagnosed at 22.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So
non-smoker.
Non-smoker.
College athlete.
Yeah. And yeah, passed away less than 5 years later.
Wow.
So 26, almost 27.
Mm. Good night. Could you tell us with the foundation, like, who do you help? How do you help them? Like, and how people can get more information as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what I didn't know Dan when he was diagnosed. But, you know, what I thought was, I think the most admirable thing is, you know, his obviously when somebody you love, your friend, you know, first thing, anybody's natural reaction is, hey, what can we do to help? Mm-hmm. And obviously, Dan was a college he was a college golfer. He played at Western Maryland, McDaniel. I can't remember. Yeah. They've changed McDaniel names college, so many times. Yeah. And then in grad school, he was he actually coached the kids golf. But, you know, rather than, you know, his friends and family said, hey, you're a golfer. Let's hold a golf tournament. We'll raise money for you. And he looked around and said, I got great family, great friends. He's like, I have to imagine there's other people out there that don't have insurance, because a lot of young adults that do get diagnosed. Think about that transitional period of life. You're not making a ton of money. You know, maybe or maybe not. Somebody told you to sign up for health insurance. So, you know, he basically turned around and said, I'd like to help other people like me. You know, I was diagnosed while I was in grad school, and I have to imagine that there's other folks that just want to, you know, young adults just want to live a normal life. Mm-hmm. And for many of the young adults that we help, you know, going to school, maintaining, you know, some sort of normalcy is really what they're looking for. So that's how the foundation was formed. And we give out financial assistance, so scholarships, to young adults impacted by cancer. That's been our program, you know, since we started. And a couple years ago, we added another program for young adults who have lost a parent to cancer. So since we started, we've raised over $425,000 and given out over 375 scholarships. So
awesome.
I think it's really just a testament. Like, you know, it's fun hanging out here. Like, the tournament is a lot of fun, and the organization is a lot of fun. And, you know, I think that's what really keeps Dan's spirit alive and the community alive. So,
Tom, how did, because I think you and Dan had a good, you've shared stuff with me off the air that I thought was really powerful. And I think, towards the end of Dan's life, and you all, and it, because we're three friends who suck at golf, but we love hanging out.
Yeah.
And we love talking about a game that we love, even though two of us aren't really that good. LB's pretty, he's okay. Can you, if you don't want to, that's fine. But just the story, kind of your friendship with Dan, before we get to that, if that's cool.
Sure.
Yeah, so with
I think it was like watching a basketball game or something.
Yeah, I mean that was the last time I saw Dan. Was we were down here in Bethesda watching. I'm sure you guys sports fans will know the last ACC game every year is the Duke Carolina game, and we were just kind of hanging out watching that. So that was, for me, that was the last time that I saw him, and so it's like I just haven't seen a friend in a long time.
Yeah.
So which is tough, but it's. You know, going back every year to the golf tournament and not only seeing, you know, he was one of my college roommates in addition to Lowie, who you met.
Yeah.
Another friend, Brendan. We see those guys. You see Dan's family. You see friends of friends. We kind of get some new blood into the tournament like yourselves this year. Mm-hmm. So that's really what keeps it going. But when Dan was planning the tournament, you know, he said, you know, golf is a game that really anybody can play, you know, and you come out. And I think what's remarkable about this particular foundation is every penny we bring in goes right back out to the families, some of the parents, not the parents, the kids, and then some of the kids who've lost their parents. I mean, it's a remarkable foundation that we just kind of we build on every year.
And I think that when I looked at your website, and we have to get that website address, by the way, before we cut out. I mean, there's kids have gotten cars, you know, to be able, is that right? Like that they can use the money even if they got
a
car to go for, not like, hey, I want a Ferrari, but like I need to be able to get transportation to and from doctor's appointments, to and from class.
Yeah.
I mean, they can use it for books, for, you know, things like that, transportation and things like that. So it really reaches far that can meet. I mean, that's huge, you know, I mean, especially if you need transportation. I mean, we're not all fortunate enough to live in the D.C. area. We just jump on the metro and go to a doctor's appointment. But, I mean, it's these little things that we don't all think about that can really change someone's life with those funds that, you know, that come from this.
Yeah. So we don't, you know, the scholarships, we tell the kids, use the money however you want. I'm not going to write the check to your school, you know, exactly to your point. Like, if it's books, if it's, you know, gas to get to treatment. Yeah. You know, we just want them to be able to, you know, to provide a little bit of, you know, financial assistance. I think, you know, what's really remarkable, and, you know, I think also goes back to Dan's legacy, because, you know, he didn't shy away from sharing his story. You know, everybody deals with things differently, but I think Dan, you know, being who he was, you know, funny, goofy, short, balding, but, you know, had a lot of life and a lot of personality. You know, he was just open with his story. And, you know, through the scholarship process, you know, the kids write about their story. You know, we're not looking for the, you know, kids getting straight A. I mean, that would be ridiculous. You know, I mean, these kids, their stories just by their persistence and, you know, getting up every day and going back to school. But, you know, and trying to, like I said, live a normal life and, you know, play sports. I mean, we've had college athletes who've had their, you know, legs amputated that go on and, you know, have participated in Paralympics. You know, kids who have been inspired by their chemo nurse who are now nurses or their doctor or, you know, want to research. Yeah, I think that is the other part of this foundation is the story. And that, you know, it's, you know, by having these kids write and really apply and share their story with us, they're able to take, you know, a little bit of their story and themselves back, and being able to put it, you know, put that out there. And, you know, I hear all the time that people say, this is the first time I was really able to share what it was really like to go through an experience
that's amazing.
And people thank us. And I'm like, I feel bad. I can't, you know, we get probably 300 applications. So we can't help everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, every year it never fails. I'll get a letter that says, you know, I really appreciate what you guys do for the community. I'm, you know, hey, I know I didn't win, but thank you so much for just allowing me to share my story in my own words. So I think that's the other part of, you know, Dan's legacy that is so important to all of us.
And you put a face with a name because your website does have the winners each year. Is that correct? Yeah, so you can actually see that it's tangible to those who participate either by giving or playing or, you know, wrecking golf carts or whatever they may do that we got to hear about to lighten up the mood a little bit.
Yeah,
but it's tangible to actually see a name in a college of kids that went.
If you write a check to our organization, I can, you know, if you wrote a check to us last year, you participated in the golf tournament, I can give you 52 names of kids that were helped. We just gave out scholarships in July. So I think, you know, we are an all family and friends organization. You come to the Wager Cup. It's a ton of fun. You know, I'm not a golfer myself. I have attempted. I'm terrible and I don't like to do things that I can't be good at. So golf is, you know, I'll do some top golf, but
that's the reason not to play.
Yeah, exactly. I drive around. I give out the shots of Fireball when that's my job at the tournament. So
let's hope my brother does not hear this or he may show up.
Well, I know you went in the wrong turn. So the question I have then is that Grey Goose on that cart?
There will be for you this year.
Hey, there we go.
I like to honor every request. You know, I'm the hostess, so I like to make sure. I think that's the other thing about Wager Cup, as Tom said, is like, just come on and play. Like, we don't, you know, there aren't huge corporate sponsorships. You know, we don't charge $300 a person. It's only $115. We want people to come out and have fun, spend time with their friends and family.
That is.
Especially if there's Grey Goose.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you can spend that on Grey Goose in the night.
I need to go ahead and take off that Monday now.
Yeah. It's a good call.
And get a hotel for Sunday.
Exactly.
I know it's only 32 miles from your house, but you may want to get a hotel and an Uber.
So, real quick, the website. Oh, and Tommy, you got some more.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of piggyback with Meg. You know, she said Dan sharing his story. When we say share his story, he would be there getting chemo, and we'd be sitting at his bedside talking to him. We got to know the nurses, and he was more concerned about how we're going to raise money for other kids going through cancer treatment. Because his concern was they might not have the support system that, as we were sitting right there with him. So we were there, we saw it, and to have that vision at 22 years old, to have stage four lung cancer and to want to help others. And, you know, that's the kind of guy he is. So that's what motivates us every single year.
And I think if you really think about all of us, right? Like, I'm just sitting here thinking this now. I'm 41, but if I was to, you know, get hit by a bus leaving here today, if 18?
This will be 14.
14 years later, if, you know, my family and friends are still carrying on my legacy.
That's what I think is so awesome.
It's, right, it's exactly. amazing.
Yeah. Keeping his memory and his passion and drive alive. That's
because
awesome.
He's still here through that.
Absolutely.
And that allows you all and his family and friends to really...
And great job by you guys and family and friends to keep it going for 14 years. I mean, to do anything with that type of consistency, number one, it's hard, but I think it's just a testament to how much he meant to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's remarkable to me. Yeah. You know, it's do that.
Amazing.
I can't even do a family reunion for 3 years in a row.
True story. Yeah, true story. Exactly. I just can't. Yeah. Like, I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. Yeah.
I'm trying to get my son, who's 19, to pick an elective that he would like. And, you know, Dan's over here, 22, like planning his legacy for the year, decades to come. You know?
Exactly.
Well, I think Meg would say the same. We represent, you know, hundreds of people who come out and support every year, and Meg is really the one, you know, every year who is that driving force to get us back out there. So
great. That's awesome.
Well, folks are going to be out there this year. What's the website, date of the tournament, where we're going?
So the website is, and this is a mouthful, www.collegiatecancer.org.
Okay.
Dan did a lot of great things, but he didn't leave us with a name that was very easy to articulate. And collegiate is spelled C-O-L-L-E-G-I-A-T-E. Mm-hmm. The tournament is Sunday, October 7th at the Links of Gettysburg. Can't if you wait. Haven't been out there. It's an awesome setting. Even if you can't make it to the tournament, go see those guys. If you haven't played the course, it's just beautiful. They do a great job. So you can also call if you want more information at 240-515-6262. It's only $115 per person. We keep the cost really low. We try to get you for a lot of raffle tickets and other things on the course.
There you go. Yeah.
But everybody
buy
wins.
Some mulligans.
Uh-huh. Everybody wins.
You can buy some mulligans.
Got a great lunch and dinner. So there's a dinner afterwards with an auction with a ton of great stuff. I just got assigned Ovechkin jersey in the mail, which I'm sure
get
which
out
will
of here.
Go.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure we'll go for a lot. So yeah, we welcome everybody, and you know, as Tom said, you don't have to be a great golfer; you just have to come and want to spend the afternoon with us and have some fun.
So what time's it start?
It's a 10 o'clock shotgun start.
Okay, so lunch and dinners. What other raffle items do you have?
Well, let's see. We've got
typical things, like in the past.
Oh my gosh. What did we get last year? So last year we had a Harper jersey. We had Steph Curry. We've had LeBron James.
Get out of here.
We have pretty much every local DC, Baltimore sports team. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what else.
Got some Georgetown gear. Tom's a Georgetown fan. He's a boy.
Okay. Masters.
Please don't say Sergio.
We did because he won the Masters.
Oh,
I'm gonna win that.
I would win it and burn it.
on the spot.
We'll put it on our Instagram.
It was Steph from Spieth, so we try to, you know, it's and it is.
We like Jordan Spieth here.
I think we have seriously 70 auction items.
Wow. Well, apparently you guys caused a lot of trouble up there.
We got to hear.
Well, see, I want to hear what Tom's real nickname is.
Oh my goodness, Megan, give it to us. What is it?
It's Car Bomb Tom.
Oh my God!
Okay.
Don't let now. He's a little older. Let the professional exterior fool you.
And the Guinness plant is now open in Elkridge. Tom, have you been there?
No, not yet.
Car Bomb Tom. So now, what's up with that, Tom? Why are we called Car Bomb Tom?
Do you want the real story?
Yes. I want the real story.
The truth. Nothing but the truth.
Now, I was living down in Ocean City for the summer, and they had a car bomb special, and I never had one. And I did one. I did two. I did three. I did four. And I don't remember getting home the next morning. And I walk in, and the buddy at Stackhouse, I walk in, and he was like, hey, Car Bomb Tom, how you feel? And it just stuck. So then I'm playing baseball, and you know, at Western Maryland, I'm pitching, and everyone's like, "Hey, come on, Car Bomb!" And the coach is like, "Why do they call him Car Bomb?" And our assistant coach was like, "I think he likes to light cars on fire. I don't know."
Nice. So Tom, can you drive a golf cart?
I can, but Lowy cannot.
Wait, is this who we played with?
Yes, yes.
So what did he do? Thing going on here.
I drove this golf cart at Weger Cup for 17 holes. 17 holes.
Mm-hmm. No incident free.
No incident free. Right. Smooth sailing. And he's like, he just shotgunned a beer, and he was like, "Do you care if I drive the next hole?" And I was like,
"That's a golf cart. It's right there. What could possibly go wrong?"
On 1 second. Has anyone ever asked that question to their playing partner ever before? Like, like, do you mind if I drive to the next hole?
Right.
Once you establish who's driving, like, it's not even in the discussion
anymore. That's right. Yeah. My bag's on the left. Yeah, I'm driving.
That would have been a red flag right there to me, Tom. Like, that's an odd question. Yeah. But anyway, what happens?
Well, he probably was thinking, what could possibly go wrong?
Right. I mean,
there's only one hole left.
Yeah, it's one hole.
We just do two turns, two right-hand turns.
Right.
I didn't know he was going to max the golf cart out. Not that they go that fast, but when you're doing 90-degree turns.
Right.
So we flip the cart. I'm laying on top of him. People come running over to get the cart back upright. Uh-huh. And he's like, "Sorry, man, I just don't know what got into me."
That's like, shotgun, I think.
That's a quick turnaround.
This
I'm sorry.
This was the year we got kicked off of that. We were not asked back after that year.
Whoa.
We had to move to the links of Gettysburg.
Wait a minute. Something else must have happened then.
No, I mean, that was the year.
Flipping golf carts.
There was one in a pond. And people drove through the cornfields. There was
Wait a minute.
My wife was parked on the green, like right beside the hole.
Oh. She's like, "Does she know a guy named Rick McCormick?"
Right. Yeah, like, exactly.
It's one of our buddies. He always does that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Oh, my God.
So this is sounding more and more fun. The more you talk, the more I'm looking forward to this.
Can you guys move the date up to, like, next weekend?
Let's do two of these.
Yeah, two or three.
That's going to be fun. Good. So for more information, where can people go?
They can go to www.collegiatecancer.org.
Collegiatecancer.org.
Or you can find us on Facebook, the National Collegiate Cancer Foundation.
Great. That's wonderful.
And on the website, if you can't make it out to Gettysburg on October 7th, there's a donate button on the website. So feel free to donate wherever you are and know that the money will go to good use.
Yeah.
Cool. There you go.
All right.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming. Yeah, we really appreciate that so much. Yeah. Thanks. Clap for you guys. Thank all you. Your efforts.
And let's be real. First week of October in Gettysburg, PA.
It's going to be beautiful.
Is there anywhere on earth you'd have to be? I mean, it is beautiful that time of year.
Oh, it's awesome.
And
if you do come in last, going back to your earlier conversation,
the Mandy Millions.
Everybody wins.
Okay.
Not that you guys will.
We'll come close to last. We do have
trophies for the last place. It's the Toilet Bowl Championship.
So everybody wins.
And every year, I refuse. So my dad is 76 now and is the worst golfer.
He hasn't seen us.
Well, so that's the only thing is every year he technically wins, but he doesn't know that he's ever won because I can't ever win the Toilet Bowl Championship.
You should just show up to his house one day with 18 of them. Or no, wait till you get to year 20 and then give him 20 of them.
These are all yours.
Hey,
sorry,
I forgot to give these to you. Here's a box of toilet bowls.
I doubt you guys will find yourselves there, but you know, you guys seem to like to celebrate even last place.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Yeah. Celebrate everything. Life is short. Celebrate everything.
That's a great idea. We do it in like fantasy football. It's like, you know, somebody gets a wrestling belt and someone gets the toilet bowl.
Great idea. Good. Well, thank you guys
so much. We need to auction off our fourth spot.
We got a fourth? Yeah, we do have a fourth spot.
Oh, right, because we don't have
a fourth right now.
Okay.
Six weeks.
Well, how do you want? Well, Sherman will have more information on that next week on how to set that up.
So let's put it out there now.
Okay.
You got to contact us. Instagram, GolfDMV1. Mm-hmm. Twitter, GolfDMV1.
Mm-hmm. Facebook GolfDMV. You can email us, GolfDMV1@gmail.com.
And you have to, so we need a good player.
Yeah.
Because I'm in it to win it.
Yeah.
We're going up in 2 weeks to play this course.
Right. And by good
players. That's
player.
How serious we are. Like, you need to shoot in, like, the 70s.
Oh, wow.
And by good
we'll
player.
We'll never find that guy. We don't even know anybody.
Oh, we should see 70. if Brendan wants to play from Only Golf Park.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
No, Brendan, you don't have to pay.
We'll pay for you.
You'll be our ringer. Otherwise, no, let's auction it off. Let's give all the proceeds we give to The foundation.
Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Right. We'll do
that. So yeah. we need some big ballers, even if you're in a 90s shooter.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's get the foundation some money.
Okay, cool.
We have LB. Awesome. He'll carry us.
Right. Yeah, right.
I'll hit a fairway, but that's about it.
And Sherman, it's best ball, not a shamble, like the last one we played.
Okay. Oh, thank best God. Okay. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, I like best ball.
That was rough, man. Everyone drives, and then everyone plays their ball from the – remember we talked
mm-hmm.
about that?
Mm-hmm.
From yeah. the best drive? Mm-hmm. That was rough. Good. We'll play best ball. We'll just ride LB's coattails.
There you go.
So, again, the website, collegiatecancer.org. We're going to have so much fun. Thank you guys so much for coming out.
Oh, my wife and I started looking at hotels. So, there's like two really nice hotels right there. So
we started Gettysburg?
Looking. Yeah. They're pricey.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Maybe LB, mm-hmm. he'll get a deal.
Yeah. I know people in low places.
Yeah. I know how people in low places. All right. Thank you.
It goes the Tiger route.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot to Tom Marshall, Megan Rogers from the National Collegiate Cancer Foundation. Everybody, try to get out to the Wager Cup. It's going to be so much fun. Can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys for listening to another edition of Golf DMV. Thanks for listening.
Peace.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Golf DMV.